You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
I've been here many times on the other sideline. That when the Lions are rocking and rolling and the crowd is loud and the energy's great, there's no place like it. So that's what we're shooting for, is to win things, because a lot of great things to be proud of around here.
What's going on, CFL fans? Welcome to Season 8 of the BC Lions Den.ca podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wawrishan. If you've been with us since the beginning or somewhere in between, we thank you. And if you're new to the show, we welcome you and hope you enjoy the extra BC Lions news and discussion that we are often missing in the mainstream media here locally in Vancouver. Enough has happened over the offseason that we decided it was time to fire up the studio again, and we have a busy show planned for you. In addition to catching up on some of the moves that the Lions have made this offseason, we'll also dive into those changes with new BC Lions head coach Rick Campbell. We'll then welcome pending free agent offensive lineman Justin Renfro to the show, who is spending his offseason in the Lower Mainland and hoping to be back with the Lions. And we'll also announce a new sponsorship with Justin's clothing line, JR Football, and the podcast. But first, let's welcome our co-host Mojo Camp back to the show and catch up with him. Mojo, good to be back to kick off Season 8 of the show. How's your offseason been going?
Hey, Brian. Hey, everybody. Thanks for downloading the show. Wow, man. Season 8. Whew, time goes by, Brian. Where's the time go, man? Offseason's been good. Unfortunately, my NFL team also didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, mine too.
The Cowboys didn't quite make it. Don't know what happened there. They're looking for a new head coach. Finished almost last place in all my fantasy football leagues. Brian, I've been watching football since Super Bowl 10. Like 40 years of watching football. Do you think I could come in any higher than last place in any of my football fantasy football pools? You'd be wrong. I can't. Last place. I suck at fantasy football.
Yeah, I'm not too great at it myself. I'm not too bad at picking games, but filling out rosters and things like that, I get burned every time. I sit a guy and then he has a big week, and or I start the wrong guy, you know. So yeah, I've kind of retired from fantasy football myself. I could get into it one day again, but I don't know, maybe when I'm retired or something and have more time on my hands. It takes a lot of your time to set your roster every week.
Well, maybe that's why I suck at it, right? Because I don't spend a lot of time in it. I'm in a keeper league now with Inge, and you know, it's like $50 a year we're paying into it.
Yeah.
So I should spend a little more time looking at a roster.
Where did Inge finish?
He finished lost in the quarterfinals this year. We have it's a 12-team league. And, you know, everybody throws in $50, $300 for the winner. Prizes go down. No last place prizes, though.
No football this weekend. Well, I guess the Pro Bowl, maybe, but who cares about that? Kansas City and San Fran are in the Super Bowl. Who do you like in that one?
Well, as a Cowboy fan, there's no way I could cheer for the 49ers. So I'm going to go with KC. And you know, even without, you know, the whole Cowboy thing aside, watching that Patrick Mahomes in the last couple of weeks, Brian, it's almost like a CFL game, man. No lead is safe.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? I thought they were dead to rights last 2 weeks. And I thought, oh, you know, they're down 17-0 or whatever. They were down more last week, but that's not happening again. You know, this is the NFL. The big comebacks don't happen like that often in the NFL, but they've done it 2 weeks in a row and they look damn good doing it too. So they seem to start a little slow. Maybe the pressure of playing at home got to them a little bit, but I can't see San Fran running with these guys if they're on their game. And I just like, you know, Mahomes, like you said, is really impressive this year. And I just like him a lot more than I like Jimmy Garofalo. So I think the Chiefs will take this one pretty easily, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, like always, we hope for a good game, but I got to go with KC on this one.
And I'm a Seahawks fan, so like you, I can't cheer for San Francisco. Our last show was right after their head coach, Devon Claybrooks, was fired by the Lions. And as we mentioned off the top of the show, new head coach Rick Campbell will be joining us shortly. Mojo, this is the first time we've had a chance to chat since the hiring. What are your thoughts on the hiring of Rick Campbell?
Oh, you know, if you'd, folks, we've already done the interview, but if you'd asked me before that, Brian, leading up to the interview, my thoughts was, why are everybody clamoring for a coach with a losing record? And then, you know, I was talking with Inge, and, you know, they took over Ottawa, was an expansion franchise. Well, they go 2-14 that year. You take that year out, his record's not actually that bad. So, you know, let's see. I was excited about last year's coach. So I'm feeling a little gun shy about getting too excited about this year's coach. However, I am way more happy that it's Rick Campbell than the possibility that Jason Moss was coming over.
Yeah, I would have been okay with Moss as the offensive coordinator, and I actually thought that was going to happen, but he ends up going to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, so it is what it is, and we'll take Rick Campbell and the coaching staff that he's assembled here, which we'll go over in a bit. I like the hire. I think Rick is a great coach, and you know, he's been doing it the right way. Coming up through the ranks, and like you said in our interview, which is coming up shortly here, he had the chance to build a program from scratch in Ottawa, and regardless of what division they play in, you know, they were contending for Grey Cups almost every year after that first year. So, and with the exception of last year when Marcel Desjardins, you know, kind of blew that team up in free agency. So, that I don't think you can put any of that on Rick Campbell. But I do really like the hire. I think he's a coach with some experience. He's still a young enough coach where, you know, he has the ear of the player. So, you know, last year we went in kind of with a whole new coaching staff that was pretty green. And this year we'll get one that's a little green in some areas. But at the same time, there's a lot more experience there. And I think that's going to help the Lions a lot. As we said, the last Ed Hervey hire had no head coaching experience, and that's certainly not the case with Rick Campbell, who was basically born into the game, having Hugh Campbell as a father and growing up around the CFL before getting into coaching himself. But I think we should just recap what's gone on with the Lions since the firing of Devon Claybrooks. Free agency's coming up with 26 players still on their pending list. Lions fans are wondering how Ed Hervey will be approaching this offseason. He spoke about now having a core to build around. He hasn't really identified that core, but I think some of those players are pretty obvious. So it'll be interesting to see what players he chooses to bring back and who he looks to bring in come February 11th when free agency starts. He has signed some key players: Shaq Johnson, John White, Brandon Rutley, Lamar Durant, Adam Konar, his son, and most recently, Jonathan Newsom. But there's still some names like Sean Lemon, Aaron Grimes, Hunter Stewart, and others on the list. And when you go 5-13 and miss the playoffs, there's going to be some changes. So it's going to be interesting to see what direction Hervey goes. Anyone on that list you would consider a must sign, Mojo?
Oh, no, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing, I don't know who our backup is. I wouldn't mind seeing the Canadian kid, Brandon Bridge, resign at least as the backup for Mike Riley. I wouldn't mind that, I have to admit. Aaron Grimes had a pretty good year. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back.
Yeah, the risk you take with Grimes is that knee injury, and there's no guarantee he's going to be ready for the first, you know, 2 months of the season. So,
yeah,
that's a little risky, but I agree with you. He's a great player, and if he's going to be healthy, I'd like to see him back here for sure.
You know, the defensive line turned around a little bit anyway when Sean Lemon came back, so why not have him at the start of the season? So I part of it, Brian, I guess, is going to depend on how willing Ed Hervey is at spending some money, right?
Well, and what money does he have to spend? You know, we've already saw Teron Carter be showing his walking papers, so that takes a little bit of salary off the books. And you know, I'm sure there's going to be other players that are making a little more money than the average player that are going to not be brought back. So it's all a matter of managing your money and how aggressive he wants to be. Unfortunately, when you're paying your quarterback $700,000, it kind of does eat up a lot of your wiggle room with the salary cap. But obviously, we're going to see what he can pull off starting February 11th. You know, some guys I'd like to see on that list, like I don't think Odell Willis will be back. I think it's time to move on from Odell Willis. Hunter Stewart, I think, is, you know, a good Canadian offensive lineman that even if he's not a starter here, he can fill in and rotate in anytime and in multiple positions. So I think he's a valuable player. You know, Justin Renfrow, our second guest tonight, I think did well when he came over from Calgary. And, you know, we're going to find out that Justin hasn't really been an offensive lineman for that long. He was only converted to one about 3 years ago. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of room for growth there from him. And I thought he played pretty well when he came in and was part of the turnaround of that offensive line. But obviously, Ed's going to go out and scan the market. And, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what his strategy is. The Lions have also... Go ahead.
I think David Menard had a good season when he came back as well.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think with those players, all those players on the defensive line, I think Sean Lemon is probably the key guy that I would bring back. Just because, you know, he's made an impact 2 years in a row, when he's showing up here. And I think that he can be a valuable player on that, defensive line. I think if you, say thanks, but no thanks to Odell Willis, and bring back Sean Lemon, I think you've upgraded that spot. And if you can go out and find some other guys that can come in and make an impact, either through free agency or through your scouting, I think the Lions will be better off there. The Lions have also named their 2020 coaching staff, and with Rick Campbell taking a dual role as coach and defensive coordinator, there was one less spot to fill. As expected, Ryan Phillips and Kelly Bates are the only two holdovers from last year's staff, and the rest of the crew rounds out like this. Jordan Maximick will be the new offensive coordinator. He joins the Lions following a four-year stint with the Eskimos. He has a good relationship with Mike Riley and was his quarterback coach when Mike Riley won the 2017 CFL Most Outstanding Player Award and led the league in passing yards for three straight seasons. Don Janikowski will take over as special teams coordinator, and the veteran of nearly four decades in the coaching ranks is coming off a stint at Texas El Paso, where he ran special teams and coached the school's safeties. He made his CFL coaching debut with the Calgary Stampeders with the linebackers from 2012 to 13 before two seasons as a special teams coordinator with the Ottawa Redblacks, a connection to Rick Campbell there. Jason Tucker, a former CFL All-Star, two-time Grey Cup champion, and a player with the Edmonton Eskimos, begins his 10th season in the pro coaching ranks. He began as a receivers coach in Edmonton from 2009 to 10, before a three-year stint in Saskatchewan that included a Grey Cup ring in 2013 with a pretty good crop of receivers there. After 2 years on the Tennessee Titans staff, Tucker spent the 2018 season in Montreal before going back to Edmonton last season. Bo Walker will be the new running backs coach. The native of Bend, Oregon, joins the Lions after four seasons with the Red Blacks. He worked as an offensive assistant for his first 3 years before being promoted to running backs coach in 2019. Before moving to the nation's capital, Walker spent seven seasons in various offensive roles at Oregon State, as well as a year in Nebraska as an offensive assistant. Leroy Blue will be the new defensive line coach. I remember him from his playing days with the Edmonton Eskimos. The 2015 Canadian Football Hall of Fame inductee spent the last six seasons as a defensive line coach with the Red Blacks, where he helped transform the unit into Grey Cup champions in year three of their existence. Blue played 15 seasons from 89 to 2003 in the CFL, mostly with Edmonton, but also with Toronto, along with winning a Grey Cup in 1993. Blue won the CFL Most Outstanding Canadian Award in 1996. Travis Brown takes over as linebackers coach after having the same role in Edmonton the past two seasons, and this is a move that excites me a lot because Brown's players enjoyed success over that span, including Larry Dean, who finished in the top five in CFL tackles in 2019, and J.C. Sherrod, who recorded 100 defensive stops the year before. Brown's coaching career began at his alma mater, Fresno State, as a defensive quality control and linebackers coach from 2014 to 2015. Danny O'Brien announced his retirement earlier this offseason, and the six-year CFL veteran quarterback joins the Lions coaching staff after spending his final season with the Lions. O'Brien will assist offensive coordinator Jordan Maximick and also work closely with Mike Riley and the other quarterbacks. So no surprise, we see guys brought in that the head coach has worked with before, and also a few up-and-comers who Ed Hervey is familiar with. It's quite a different staff than last year, though, and it should be a lot more traditional structure to the program.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I've not heard of most of those guys, obviously, except for Jason Tucker. Glad to see Ryan Phillips and Kelly Bates are back. I think they both did a great job last year. So glad to see those guys back. And Brian, you know what happened? I'm listening to you go through that list and read all that stuff. And what strikes me is it's almost the exact opposite of what we had last year with all the rookie coaches that we had last year. Totally opposite this year. All these guys got lots of coaching experience.
Yeah, and I think Ed Hervey Ed Hervey kind of decided, well, I've been there and done that. We're not doing that again. So, you know, I think it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to our chat with Rick Campbell, which we've already had, but I'm looking forward to everybody else hearing it. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a different vibe around the team this year, and I think there is talent on this team, and I think we knew that last year. It just didn't seem to get on the same page at any point. You know, even during a stretch of four straight wins against lesser opponents, you could see the talent was there, but it was never completely there. I don't think the Lions played a complete 60-minute football game all year last year. Still nothing more on the ownership situation of the team, except for the fact that the Montreal Alouettes now have their new ownership in place, so maybe that sets a precedent for the sale of the Lions. Different markets with some of the same problems, but perhaps potential buyers now have a benchmark to go by, Mojo, and I haven't changed my tune. I'm hoping this thing gets done, preferably before the season starts.
Oh, man, this is just an ongoing issue that just never seems to go away. you know, we're 8 seasons in. We've probably been talking about this for, what, 4 seasons now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the benchmark is. I haven't seen any numbers reported about what the team was sold for in Montreal, but you know, I hope David Brayley looks at that and says, okay, well, you know, this is what I'm willing to accept. I mean, it's his team. Obviously, he can hold out for as long as he wants. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I still believe something's got to give here and we need new ownership, preferably local ownership. But at this point, you'd almost hope for anybody to step up and buy them as long as they're committed to it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I'm no multimillionaire businessman like Mr. Brayley is, but I have to think that the Lions were worth more three, 4, 5 years ago
than what
they're worth now. So I don't know if now, you know, he was asking too much, and now he's waiting for the price to come up to his, I don't know, but it seems like it doesn't seem like it's the right business plan for him to hold on to it. So I don't understand why this is an ongoing thing. But again, it's, you know, it's none of my business, Brian.
Yeah, well, the one thing I do like about what he's saying is he wants it to go to somebody who's going to keep it here. He wants it to go to somebody that's passionate about it. And, you know, so that's encouraging anyway. If they can just agree to terms on money and find somebody that fits those parameters, then let's get her done. There's not only a lot going on with football lots, but the Lions have also announced they have made their youth season ticket even better, extending the age of those eligible for a youth rate season ticket to 17 and under, reducing the price to start at just $77 for a full season of football. That's $7.70 a game. So hopefully more young people will be able to take advantage of that and help get the attendance up at BC Place and create a few more football fans. But kudos to BC, to the BC Lions and London Drugs for coming up with that program. It should get a few more people into the building, especially families.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's tough out there in downtown Vancouver. But you got to, you know, you got to tip your hat to these guys. They're trying. They're trying new stuff. So hopefully, but you know as well as I do, Brian, nothing's going to bring the people back more than winning.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line, because Moj said so.
Well, that's the kind of town Vancouver is, right? If it's not the popular thing to do, then people have lots of other choices where to spend their money. And like you say, there's not a lot of money to go around if you live in Vancouver. So unless you're one of the privileged few that can afford this place. News came down as well that the Lions have relieved Jamie Cartmell of his director of communications duties. Cartmell served the Lions for 14 years and has 19 years of CFL experience, first starting with the Eskimos. It was a move that was met with disappointment by many media members, not only locally but across the CFL, who considered him one of the best in the league. When we first started this podcast, it took a while for Jamie to warm up to the idea of our show, but I will say he was fair to deal with, and if he had a problem with me, he was very honest about it, and we talked it out, and always had what was best for the team as his first priority. The last couple of years, he gave us pretty much everyone we asked to have on the show, so best of luck to him, Mojo, and you have to wonder if the operations cap had something to do with this move. Our friend Matt Baker will take on a bigger role in communications for the Lions this season, but best of luck to Jamie Cartmell.
Yeah, you know, you never like to see a guy lose a job. Like you mentioned, our relationship with Jamie took a while to warm up. You dealt with him way more than I did, so I never dealt with him, so I don't know. But I know it was tough for us those first couple of years, but the Lions have certainly warmed up. And glad to hear about Matt Baker taking a bigger role with the Lions. I really like Matt Baker. He's a real nice guy, always has nice things to say when we see him, so good for him. Looking forward to building a relationship with him.
Let's get to our first guest now, and after guiding the Ottawa Redblacks to multiple Grey Cup appearances, including a championship, Rick Campbell now comes to BC with the goal of restoring the roar to the BC Lions, and it's our pleasure to welcome him to the podcast now. Rick, thanks for taking the time to join us tonight, and welcome back to the west coast of BC and to the BC Lions.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. Appreciate it.
Coach, we're going to get into your reasons for coming to BC and all of that, but we wanted to go back a bit and talk about your journey in football. Of course, anybody that follows the CFL knows your father, Hugh Campbell, and you were able to grow up in a football family. Did you know at a young age you wanted to be involved in football?
I've always liked it and known it, but I was actually was going to be a high school teacher is what I thought I was going to be. And then I ended up going to the University of Oregon and got involved in coaching and really liked it. And it just worked out. And then I've kind of just gone down that road from there.
Now, if my math is correct, you would have been about 8 years old when the Eskimos went on their run of five straight Grey Cups. That must have been a great time as a kid being around a dynasty like that. What do you remember about those days?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It was when you're that young, obviously you have a different perspective about things, but I just remember the Eskimos winning every year, and that was just kind of the way it was expected. I just remember being in Edmonton and that, you know, the Eskimos and then the Oilers hockey team after that was just like everybody expected them to win all the time. So just kind of what I was around, and obviously it was a pretty fun time.
Hey, Coach, you got your first professional job in the CFL with the Eskimos in 1999. When Don Matthews had to convince your dad to bring you on board after you were coaching at the U of O, it's been reported that your dad nixed a potential hire because he was concerned about the optics of, I guess, of having his son join the crew. Can you tell that story and how did you feel about at that time?
Yeah, I was offered a job at a smaller college. Actually it was Washington University in St. Louis, which not a lot of people know, but it was a Division III school. And then Don had called me about coming up to Edmonton, and I kind of was reluctant at first too, but if you know Don, which I'm sure you guys do from his time in the CFL and with the BC Lions, is Don doesn't hire people unless he thinks they can help. So that was a big stepping stone for me. So I appreciate that Don would think enough of me to hire me, and that kind of got my CFL career going. So I appreciate it.
Coach, as you know, last year, the Lions, we had a pretty young coaching staff and we had lots of struggles last year. As someone who's come up through the ranks and has had success in the league, how important is experience when it comes to a coaching in the professional football, and when did you feel you were ready to take that bigger step to become a head coach?
I wanted to wait. The thing I learned is that to wait till you were in a good enough situation where you thought you could win and be in that good situation is to not just take a head coaching job for the sake of it, but just to make sure. A lot of time young guys only get one chance to do it. So the Ottawa situation here was pretty unique, and it just was very interesting to me because it was starting from nothing. It was an expansion team, and I just felt my heart was really into it. And it was kind of crazy because when I got here, there was no coaches, no players, you know, literally starting from nothing. And I just thought that between me and Marcel Desjardins, who was here, that we had enough CFL experience that we could just try to build it up the best way we could and kind of go from there. So it was a pretty unique situation and a special situation where you get to kind of build a franchise from the ground up, and I'm definitely proud to be a part of it.
Let's get to the Lions now, Rick. You said that your relationship with Ed Hervey was the big selling point for you coming to BC. As someone who coached against this team last year, what do you feel the strength of this team is with the current roster, and where do you think it needs to improve the most?
Well, there's definitely a good core group of players that are very good players. And you're exactly right with Ed. I'm just thinking through my relationship with Ed, who I've known for a long time, and he's really grown into his role as a GM and has done a great job. And I've always had a ton of respect for the BC Lions. When I just remember being the road team, especially in playoff games where you're in BC place and it's loud and the Lions are good and the crowd's loud and all that stuff. Like, it was just such a tough place to play. And, you know, I feel very fortunate to be a part of that history of all the good players and coaches that have been in BC. So just looking forward to it. You know, the CFL is kind of funny in that things can change quickly. And even in the NFL, like, you can look at the 49ers this year. They went, you know, I don't know how many more games they've won, but they're in the Super Bowl now. So, you know, same thing with BC is that they lost a couple tough games. The games I remember is the game in Calgary earlier in the year where easily could have won. The game in Hamilton, you know, he could have won, and all of a sudden, you know, the standings change and the momentum changes and the confidence changes. So you're never that far away. And obviously with a good quarterback and good players, then you don't know what's going to happen. So just looking to, you know, surround ourselves with the best people and put them in the best possible position and then see what happens.
You're assuming the role of defensive coordinator as well as the head coach, and pressure on the quarterback was lacking last year for that Lions team. What type of defense can Lions fans expect from you this year with your coaching philosophy?
Yeah, want to be aggressive, want to be multiple. The thing in the CFL is that between the quarterbacks and the offensive coordinators in this league, if you're real predictable, that's not a good thing. So you need to be a moving target, but you want to be aggressive. You got to put pressure on the quarterback and, you know, force things. And so I'm really looking forward to it. That's a big thing for me. I've been strictly a head coach the last 6 years, which has been great. And I think it was good for me being a head coach for the first time. But now that I've kind of had more experience with it of being a head coach and then, getting back into kind of the nuts and bolts of game planning and doing those things and getting back to what I know as far as being a defensive coordinator, I'm really looking forward to it. So, like I said, want to be aggressive, want to be multiple, want to be a moving target, and away we go.
Hey, Coach, on the other side of the ball, you're bringing in up-and-coming coach Jordan Maksimek. Someone you've worked with before in Ottawa and someone who's had some success with Mike Riley in the past. What does he bring to your coaching staff as a first-time offensive coordinator?
Yeah, so he was a guy that I hired in Ottawa when I got the head coaching job here, and that was his first kind of real full-time coaching job. And super smart, really hard worker, honest. You're going to believe what he says. The players are going to believe in what he says. And I know he has a really good relationship with Mike Riley, which is obviously very important. And so this is kind of the next step for him, is to be in the position where he can call plays and do those things. And he's going to be surrounded by a good coaching staff and all those things. And I know he'll do a great job, like I said, because he's smart and he works hard at it. And he's got a good relationship with Mike Riley. So I think those are all good things.
Coach, I want to just ask you a couple questions here about some other leagues in the North American football. The XFL is set to kick off in a couple weeks, and how is the start of that league affected potential talent coming to the CFL, and who you got in the Super Bowl?
Well, one, with the XFL, I think it's an unknown as far as players, agents, us and the CFL, all those things. I think you don't know, like the last league that went last year and ended up folding. I mean, you didn't know what was going to happen with that. So I think everybody's kind of waiting to see what happens with it. I do know this about the CFL. I know that it's been around a long time, and it's very unique, and a lot of players and coaches love it. So I know it's going to be here. So we'll see how that whole thing works out. From the GM's point of view, it's just a matter of your negotiation list and all those things as far as players that, want to play down there and stuff. So we'll see how that all goes. And then, I'm excited about the Super Bowl. I think they're both exciting teams. I don't really have any ties to the whole thing other than Mark Nelson was a guy that I coached with here the last 6 years in Ottawa, and his son is the long snapper for the 49ers. So I'm really happy for Mark and his son, because I know he worked really hard to get into the NFL, and now that he gets to play in the Super Bowl, then good for him. But I think it's cool, guys like Patrick Mahomes and all that. I'm he's like a old school CFL style quarterback that can run and throw and do all those things. So I think it's going to be a good Super Bowl.
After watching KC come back in the last couple of games, it's going to be hard to beat those guys, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think so. Although when you watch like Green Bay, obviously was a pretty good team, and San Francisco made them look, didn't make them look so good, being able to just run the ball on them at will. So you never know. I think it's going to be close, when you get to that point of the season where you get the teams that are hot and been doing well in the playoffs, then you can expect a close game. But like I said, I think it could be pretty exciting, because I think, San Francisco is going to try to run the ball and control the clock. And then the thing that's hard about Kansas City is they have all that speed and those weapons and stuff. And so should be a pretty good game.
Coach, Ed Hervey alluded to a relaxed culture around the team last year that was maybe too relaxed in some areas. What are you feeling? What are your feelings around team culture and accountability for the teams that you coach? Like, where's the fine line between being the boss and being a friend to the players?
I don't think it's about being a friend to the players or anyone. I think it's just about, I think the whole job of the head coach and the coaching staff is you're trying to highlight the strengths of people and minimize the weaknesses. And you want to make sure people feel held accountable, and at the same time, make sure people enjoy walking into the building every day. That doesn't mean that you're just coming in to have fun, but that you feel like you're valued and that you can come into the building and and contribute and do your thing, and making sure we all do the best job we can. And that's our plan. So the other thing I've learned is I don't get caught up in what the last people did. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't listen to people or learn from it, but I wasn't there, so I'm not going to judge or get caught up in that whole thing. Is if I want to make sure that the Lions going forward can be the best version possible for the season.
You were part of building the Red Blacks from the ground up, as you mentioned, and the success they have had there on and off the field has been very impressive. Things like the weekly quarterback club they have there, the brand building, the engagement with the younger fans has been really done well in Ottawa. Part of the job you have taken on is helping them rebuild the Lions brand here, and mostly you're going to do that on the field by winning football games. But do you have any ideas you could bring to the table about what they did in Ottawa and that you think can be part of the solution here?
Like you said, number one, the job is to win and build a winner on the field. I've been around the CFL for basically my whole life, and I think it's really important to be fully immersed in the whole thing. So I'm moving to Vancouver. I want to be there full time. So whether that's doing things in the community, or I just believe in being all in on the whole thing. So I know that makes a big difference. And I know the teams that have had success over time do those things. And, you know, a guy like Wally that was there forever, was the reason he was there a long time, was he was there and he was a fixture and all those things. And so I just know things like that are important. And so the number one job is winning. And then, like I said, I'm going to be all in as far as living in the city and being a part of it and doing all those things. And I just think that's, I think that's what the CFL is all about, is engaging fans and being a part of the whole thing. And that's what makes the whole thing unique. So that's what I'm going to do.
Well, Rick, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We're excited to have you here in BC to help turn this around. So welcome back to the Pacific Northwest and best of luck this season. Hopefully we can catch up with you at some point later down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks. Yeah.
Mojo, last year we were talking to Devon Claybrooks at this time, and I think we were both pretty pumped about the season after talking to him, but things, of course, didn't work out very well for him or the BC Lions. This year we're talking to Rick Campbell, and I think the Lions are in good hands with an experienced coach. They have some holes to fill in areas that need to be improved, but I do think we have a solid coach in place.
Yeah, Brian, you know, after talking to Rick, I'm warming up. You know, he's a career coach. He's been around the league a long, long time. So this is, I wasn't for it at first. I like I mentioned in our opening, but now I think he's the right guy for the job. And, if he can build Ottawa up from nothing, he should be able to do some good stuff for the Lions, because at least we have something to start with here. So looking forward to the season. I think we're in good hands, like you mentioned, and hopefully this is the beginning of, the Rick Campbell era.
Let's get to our next guest now and our newest sponsor of the show. Justin Renfro joined the Lions last year from the Calgary Stampeders and had an immediate impact shoring up the right tackle spot. He's a pending free agent and has spent the offseason in the Lower Mainland getting ready for the season and making community appearances on behalf of the Lions. This offseason, Justin expressed some interest in sponsoring the podcast, and I'm happy to announce that he and his clothing company, JR Football, are on board this season as a sponsor. It's our pleasure now to welcome Justin Renfro to the show. Justin, thanks for joining us tonight, and welcome to the team.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, and glad to be a part of the team, and helping you guys get your name out there.
Yeah, and yours as well. Justin, before we get to the football side of things, we'd like to get into your sponsorship of the show this year and talk about your ventures into the business community and into philanthropy. You're a busy man off the football field, but let's start with your clothing line, JR Football. I am all about comfortable clothes, and your line certainly looks like it caters to that. Tell us how that came about and how things are going with it.
So I guess that really came about, I guess, my first year in the CFL, kind of looking for the clothes that fit me. There's not a lot of guys that
yes,
looking for a 3X up here, as I found out and come to learn. And so, and like just certain things I've always worn my entire life. Like I've always been a guy that's like back home at Test Sports Club in Jersey. Shout out to them. Always had the cutoff. Always had the cutoff hoodie on, you know, and things like that, that just you always work out in. I always practice in. So I just started making them up here myself. And then I did the onesies and the jumpsuits, and then started, I made my own logo. And at this same time, all my community stuff was starting to pick up as well. I was in Calgary coaching 2 football teams, volunteering my time at Brown Bag Calgary, which packs lunches and then goes and delivers them to kids in need. And then I also had my own football camps, along with doing Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Boys and Girls Club. So all that stuff at the same time was brewing, and it basically turned in, the clothing line turned in a way to, one, me make the clothes and kind of doing what I like to do with the clothes, while also raising money and helping all these different kids and organizations I've been working with. And so it's now come into a clothing line. I'm trying to build my camps off of it, and then I'm in hopes to kind of build a football facility and be able to give back to kids that way.
Wow, that's awesome. So with the clothing line, is this something you're looking to maybe hook up high school teams with, or is it football specific, or is it just, you know, casual wear?
Actually, I've done a little bit of basically all, everything's been a test on myself basically, and kind of people's reaction to it. And so I've done some casual stuff, some leisure wear, and then what I would call like that first bit of clothes that I have that I've like put up on Instagram and stuff, kind of your athlete's essentials. And so with having all that stuff kind of going, it's branched out. So right now I started like with you guys and then a couple other businesses, kind of a standard hoodie, sweatshirt, shorts, t-shirts that has my logo along with their company. And I'm doing that with some companies. And then my goal is to, yes, outfit teams and players and things like that. And I've been in touch with certain players and trying to see who are good guys that represent the brand in the community as well as while playing, kind of guys that do the same things I do. And so, you know, that all that takes time while also still playing football. So this has been, I started, I guess this would be 2 years ago. I drew this logo by hand. I drew a total of 5 different logos by hand. And now it's grown to this in 2 years. So just taking it as it kind of builds, you know?
Cool. How do people order this stuff? Will you be getting an online store at some point and more products?
Yes, I'm actually, the online store should be up within the next 2 months. Previous to this, I've been all not-for-profit, purely just all off Instagram. Hey, I'm doing this fundraiser and doing a piece of clothing for that fundraiser. Just now this year, I'm kind of transitioning to the sponsoring, and then also people can start purchasing everything. I wanted to do everything the right way. You know, my stuff's handmade down to the tags, even Justin Renfro. So
Oh, wow. I
took the time and wanted to do stuff the right way. And so now, you know, I'm going to have a brand new website come in with the commerce store. My current website, Renfro Football, will be going down and we'll be coming out with a new one. And so I'm excited, you know. It's been a busy off season. Also keeping up with, you know, I do on my own, like outside of the team, I make sure to be every city I'm in. I make sure to be with Special Olympics, Big Brothers, and try to keep up with those organizations, all unique to the BC area and Surrey. I work with the night shift ministry. So while doing all that stuff, you know, you just kind of get them all to flow together and also help everybody.
Who instilled those values in you, and what drives you to be so giving with your time?
Well, I mean, it's a couple of things. I mean, my parents definitely always instilled the values, but I think their sacrifice in putting me in my private middle school and high school, the William Penn Charter School, which every other Friday we had to go do community service. And so I still remember eighth grade, we would go it was right across the street. And that's what I think instilled in me, like helping people that are right around you. Cause we would go right across the street from our school, from our beautiful campus. And it was an elderly home. It was a nice home. Nothing's wrong with the home, but just to see those people that net, like these people were at this home cause nobody else really took care of them, and how happy they would be. I mean, at the time I was going, all the older gentlemen at the facility, they would all follow me through sports and read about me in the newspaper. So kind of seeing at an early age that kind of bringing light to people's life kind of stuck with me. And then when I actually got cut from the Cardinals in the NFL, so my rookie year, and was transitioning from D-line to O-line, I was lucky to meet Domingo Graham and get his help. And he free of charge, he gave me his O-line knowledge in one and a half to 2 weeks. You know, he gave me everything he had before I went to try to be an O-lineman. And so he made me just give him one promise after kind of, he saw me work. He was like, I know you're going to make it as an O-lineman. When you do, just make sure you help other people. And so between my schooling and then the football, trying to help other people through football, that's kind of brought me to this point and this stage that we're at and talking right now.
Well, hey, Justin, let's get into football for a little bit here. You've been a member of 5 NFL teams. As you've already mentioned, you were with the Calgary Stampeders, and last year you're with the Lions. Take us back, Justin, to when you first started playing football and when you wanted to know it was going to be a career. Are you always been a football player?
I think at heart I've always been a football player, but there was definitely that period, first grade through eighth grade, kind of where my dad was, and you know, my dad loves me like nobody else. And because he played running back in college, he was really harping on the, you don't want to play football, you don't want to be beat up. And he tried for a while to just keep me from playing, but finally, eighth grade, I got ranked as one of the top 100 underclassmen as a tight end. And he was like, okay, I mean, I can't stop it. And so from there, it was kind of I still played basketball, but you knew that was the goal. And kind of in college, when I started, you know, got to the University of Virginia, and, you know, I'm out there practicing Nate Collins, and then he goes to the league, and then he's coming back and visiting with Victor Cruz, and they're all chilling with us and we working out. And I'm like, I could do that. And then, you know, you keep seeing guys around you go and get their shot, and you're like, man, I know I can do that. And so I had, like, at the University of Virginia, you know, I had some tough times with the coaches there and went through some battles there, but I ended up graduating in 3 years, being able to do my master's at Miami, and kind of wrote my own history in my 1 year at Miami and got enough looks to kind of get out there.
Who was your guy growing up? Who did you want to model your game after?
Growing up, I was always, you know, when I was in the tight end phase, I was trying to be like Tony Gonzalez and catching, and then slowly as I become an O-lineman, that's like, oh yeah, I definitely like want to be like Trey Thomas, you know, and watching the Eagles growing up, always the big guy out there kind of sets the tone all the time, protected every quarterback, somebody hit a running back late. He was over top of him protecting them. And so, you know, kind of try to model my game kind of after that.
So which is better, protecting a quarterback or hitting a quarterback?
I got to say, at first I was like, because defense was just so ingrained in me, I was really just, oh, yeah, I missed D-line, I missed it. But now I understand O-line and the one-on-one. Like, I think I really cherish the one-on-one battle within the game, because every time you go against a D-lineman, it's a game as an O-lineman, you know? I play around with my set. Sometimes I'm going to cut you. Sometimes I'm going to set vertical. Sometimes I'm going to set out to you. And being able to play that game within a game and have guys guessing and making it so guys can't climb up their moves and guys can't set up their spin move, that's fun for me, because you go back and watch the film, be like, he didn't even throw one spin move, and that's all he does is throw spin moves. So for me, that's the fun within the game, and I really starting to enjoy offensive line.
Hey, Justin, we've heard of players that have played in the NFL and come to the Canadian Football League, and some of them have said it made football fun again. The hours aren't as long. Things aren't so regimented. Would you agree with that? And how did you enjoy your time in BC last year, where you got some quality playing time?
I mean, I tell people that all the time. I stay in Canada year round. The past 2 years, I was in Calgary full time. Now I'm in Vancouver full time, and I like, people say, yeah, it is more fun, you know, the 6 a.m., the 6 p.m., and it's a grind, and the mentality is just different. It's I feel like up here, it's a game. It's still the same game of football, but I feel like it's more fan-based and more meant for you to interact with the people in the community. And I guess also it's more accessible, I guess you would say, too. And so I think that makes for the game to be fun. Like you said, I haven't been in BC as long as Calgary, but still, just in the short time I've been here, been able to make plenty of connections and also meet tons of people and working with tons of kids as well. And I think that's a big testament to this area and the people here and the people in Canada. So.
Hey, Justin, you touched on it a little bit earlier, talking about your days at Virginia. You know, a couple months ago, there was a big story that broke in the NHL regarding racism in that league. And you spoke up on social media recalling an incident that happened to you during your junior year in college at the University of Virginia. You stood up for yourself and your teammates and basically found yourself pushed out of that program before transferring to Miami. Can you talk about that? Because I know that was probably a tough thing to go through. And I know perseverance is something that you talk to kids about when you speak to them.
I think, especially as a college guy, kind of like, okay, this is my shot to be up. To go through that at that time period was definitely like, man, why? Because I worked my butt off kind of that spring, going up into that spring. And so, yeah, and that time I kind of was like, why would I even have to go through half this mess I went through at Virginia? But then you look back now, and I'm sitting back, and you realize kind of you go through that so you can tell kids, hey, like, somebody can literally try to be the main thing that keeps you from doing whatever you want to do. But if that's your purpose and if you work hard enough and you're meant to do it, you can do it. And so I think going through that at that time, you know, it built a lot of character for me and kind of made me learn some life lessons. But also, I don't know if I would have the same career path, you know, if I don't go to Miami. I mean, and so, you know, everything happens for a reason, and God has a path for everyone. And I think that, and especially looking at my life now, that's a strong thing, a strong belief for me, because you look at my life. I had the strength coach, the main guy that talks to every NFL scout, saying he was going to make sure I don't play in the NFL. And then you come back 2 years later, my first sack in the NFL is against the team that he's coaching. I sacked Teddy Bridgewater when he was the strength coach for the Vikings.
Awesome.
And that's kind of the message I continue to give to kids and even to adults and people who you see. I go to Night Shift Ministries. It's two blocks from the stadium. And like I was telling you earlier about giving back in the area you're in, it's two blocks from the stadium. And I go there, hand out food to the people. And like the first time I went there, the people were like, "You're really out here?" And like a lot of the people, the homeless people we're giving the food to, couldn't believe I was there. But it's just showing people they're human, treating people with respect, and I feel like encouraging people goes a long way.
Hey, Justin, Kelly Bates came in mid-season last year, and the results of his coaching started to show up with some improved play on the offensive line almost immediately. How do you like working with him, and what makes Kelly Bates a good offensive line coach?
I like working with Coach Bates. You could ask him. Our first week or so, it was guys are kind of filling out, okay, we got this new coach and, you know, and maybe some new styles. But I think you see kind of that second game, and then we got that bye week. So then we kind of got some more time to refine stuff. And I mean, I think it really reflected in the play. I know myself personally, I was dealing with some injury stuff, but my pass grade was good every week, trying to utilize his techniques. And I think the biggest thing that he brought for us though was the techniques and giving us consistent coaching on what technique he wanted and what he wanted. And we going into every game with a plan and kind of knowing what plan we were going into, I think helped. And then for me playing tackle, it's not as hard as the guys inside. But for me, I mean, he get every week we would have a little, you know, just it wouldn't be a big discussion. But, hey, I'm gonna try to do this week. And what do you think? And, yeah, I think that'll be good. And then you go see it executed in the game, and it works. So I think when you're able to build a relationship like that, and we were able to kind of get to that point towards the end of the season, it's always something positive to keep building off.
Hey, Justin, free agency's coming up less than a month away, and your goal is to remain here in BC. And after talking with you, my goal is to help make you be here in BC, because not only are you great on the field, you're great off the field. You're a great man, and that's what we need on this team to get the people back. You're somebody that we all want to cheer for. You got any scoops for us, Justin, about your free agency? Yeah, let us in on a scoop here.
I mean, I don't think it's not much scoop, I guess, per se. I mean, you said it yourself. I mean, like you said earlier, I've been on five teams, got traded here midseason. I'm living here right now, as you can see. I'm in Vancouver. I'll be here pretty much the off season. I got some events coming up with Special Olympics BC that we'll be announcing. And like you said, I'm settled here. I've got Trust Food Groups is sponsoring me. Altitude Vancouver, they're helping me rehab. I got Sice Training. Anita Russell's helping me with my massages. I'm settled here. So, you know, I want to stay here. I want to play with the Lions. I like playing next to Sook Chung. That's been a lot of fun. He got hurt in that latter part of the season, so looking to get back out there with him. I mean, there's no scoop. I haven't talked to anybody with the Lions, really. But, you know, I want to stay here. We'll see what happens.
Justin, you spent some time with the team just down the highway from us in Seattle. You were actually with them when they went to the Super Bowl in 2015, correct?
Yes, I was, yeah.
I got to ask you, given you're an offensive lineman, and I think I know your answer to this, should Marshawn Lynch have gotten the ball at the end of that game?
For sure he should. Yeah. And that's been tough to watch, because the whole time they've been building up to that Packers-Seahawks game, they kept showing was that loss that week. That we took in the Super Bowl right after. It would be like, and then they went to the Super Bowl and lost.
Yeah.
Oh, but, man. Yeah, no, definitely, I mean, that's, I guess that's the one minus of the RPO, you know, you got to make a decision. Somebody can give you two reads. It is what it is. You know, you like we were saying earlier, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And so I guess that if you look at that, that made a lot of guys on that team hungry and chase the dream. I know for me, I came to the CFL, and coming to the CFL my rookie year, I lost the Grey Cup then. Mm-hmm. And that whole next year, I just remember just constantly, anytime I was hurting in training, like, and then to win the Grey Cup in 2018 with Chris Matthews, who was on the Seahawks, we were both on that same team that lost. Mm-hmm. That was a big moment for us. And so I think it drove a lot of guys because he had the same type of feeling and same type of just emotion. Like, we did it finally, you know, chase championships after a certain point and playing pro sports, you know, and that's what I hope to do here in BC. You know, I talk to a lot of guys around the team about it a lot. I tell them, you know, you only get a certain number of years and you only get a certain number of shots to chase championships, and got a good group of guys around, and I mean, to have a weight room, are basically a start in the O-line in the weight room right now lifting together is, I think that's a good start. So we'll see what free agency brings and then what's built off of that.
Hey, last one for you, Justin. We were pretty bummed when Coach Claybrooks got fired last year, and I know he's a good friend of yours. How is he doing? Have you a chance to talk with Rick Campbell at all?
Me and Rick Campbell spoke a couple times. When he first got signed, we're living in the same building, so I saw him a couple times in passing. Haven't really spoke to him much since. But yeah, I've heard he's a good guy. You know, close friends from home. We all train together at Test Sports. Avery Ellis and Anthony Siafi, both who were on the Red Blacks, both said great things about him, players, coach. So, you know, kind of looking forward to experience that. And then, yeah, Coach Claybrooks is a good friend of mine. You know, always tough. You know, it was good to be here with like people, and definitely helped with my transition to come here. And you know, like we talked about earlier, everything happens for a reason. Maybe he was supposed to be here to help ease some guys' transition, because he's definitely a player's coach. Definitely welcomes people into the CFL. We bonded when I came to Calgary as a new American, not sure what the CFL was. And he was one of the first people to tell me, like, come up here. You an NFL guy. We know you've been there, but embrace it. And if you embrace it, like, you'll enjoy it, and the people will make it fun for you. And, I mean, the people in Calgary, I mean, all the fans in Calgary were great. People in BC have been great. The Lions Den, obviously, for the Grey Cup was a great time, and celebrating my birthday and meeting different fans. So I just think it's all been good. I guess before the Christmas holiday, I spent a lot of time with Coach, and he's doing well. And, you know, he'll probably be again soon.
All right, Justin. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and even more so for coming on board with the sponsorship of the show this year. You're a quality dude, man, and we're really happy to have you on board with us this year, and we can't wait to get our hands on some of your JR football gear, and we hope to hear that you re-signed with the Lions soon.
All right. Thank you for having me, and go Lions. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Do you want to shout out your social channels before we let you go?
Yeah, you can Instagram j.renfro. That's j.renfrow. Justin Renfro Football is my clothing line nonprofit. That's at @JR_football. And then stay on the lookout at Pure Skills Football. We're hoping to do camps here in Vancouver and Calgary for the kids. Last year, we were able to get 7-Eleven Canada to sponsor the field, so that helped lower some costs. So we're looking to do that again. And then if you look on those channels, you'll be able to clue in everything, websites, fundraisers, what we're doing here with the podcast and everything else. So.
All right, man. Sounds great. And anytime you want us to promote anything, just shoot me a message and we'll get on it for you too.
All right. Sounds good. And thanks for having me on. And thanks for being a part of the team now.
Yeah, likewise.
Thanks a lot, Justin.
Wow, Mojo, what a great interview with Justin Renfro. You just get to get a feeling of what kind of outstanding dude this guy is with all the time that he donates in the community and juggling a business and you know, getting in shape to be a professional football player. And really impressed with what I heard there, and I'm super happy to have him on board as a sponsor this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, what a guy. What a great guy. And that's the type of guy you want on your team. And that's the type of guy that is going to draw people in to go watch him play because he's making so many connections out in the community. And that's the type of guy the Lions need, man. So let's hope he gets into some kind of shape and signs with the Lions. After that interview, you know, Brian, I wish I could go back to our opening interview and redo it and say that Justin's one of my must-sign guys.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, he's entrenched himself in the community here. He's living here full time. And when he played with the Stampeders, you heard him say he lived there for full time for 2 years. So he's a community minded guy and just awesome. So, yeah, real happy to have him on board. And we certainly hope he's back with the Leos. We should mention as well that Sharon Dudka and Metal Rocks are returning as a sponsor of the show this year. And we want to make sure we thank her for her support as well. Make sure you check out the links on our website to both JR Football and Metal Rocks. That's it for episode 145. And we want to thank Rick Campbell and Justin Renfro for joining us tonight, as well as Matt Baker of the BC Lions for setting up that interview with the coach for us. This show is part of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. Make sure to check out all the great shows that are a part of it at cfpodnetwork.ca and follow the network on Twitter at cfpodnetwork. Please subscribe and listen to the show on your favorite podcast app. Visit us at bclionsden.ca. Follow us on Twitter at bclionsden and at mojocamp, and on Instagram at bclionsden_podcast, and that's podcast, PAWDCAST. The next time you hear from us will likely be around free agency, so stay tuned to our social channels or subscribe to the show so you don't miss it. Until then, on behalf of Mojo Camp and myself, thanks for listening, everyone. And as always, roar, you Lions, roar.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.